What up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Pretty Girl Progression Podcast. I am your girl, Sherelle. If you are new here, welcome. I hope you stay. And if you've been here before, girl, welcome back. And as always, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Now, ladies, I have created a free ebook, 10 Tips to Personal Development, but I've also added my newest edition, which is the 30-Day Devotional. Now, I've mixed in everything from affirmation to biblical verses and a personal message of the day from me to you. So you can grab this at www.prettygirlprogression.com today. And everything you purchase just simply supports the channel and future events and things that we have going on at Pretty Girl Progression. Now, y'all, I have an extremely special, special, special guest. I've been excited ever since launching season 2 to have this beautiful queen on here. She is an author, a mother, my ex-Huda girl friend, a realtor, turned self-image coach. Y'all, give a big round of applause to my girl, Tiffany.
You are so sweet. I love that introduction. Talk about giving your flowers.
Yes, okay. You deserve all of it, and they will know why you deserve all of it after they are done watching this full episode, and don't even skip the ads, okay? So, Tiffany, how you doing, girl? How are you?
I am doing good. I am so grateful that you even extended an invite because, you know, I have been looking to make my way back. I've taken a little bit of a hiatus, but your calling always brings you back. So I'm happy, girl. I'm good. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited.
Well, let's get into that. Speaking of calling, I just want them to, if you could describe yourself in a few words, what would that be for someone who has no idea who Tiffany is right now?
I would say calm.
Mm-hmm.
Authentic. And I would say self-aware.
Yes, right on the money, right on the money, y'all. So we're going to have just real girl talk, you know what I mean? We're gonna get into a few things, but me and Tiff met back at Hooters a few years ago. Shout out to Bayside Hooters. I don't think they're there no more, but
right.
We worked together at Hooters, and I used to always be like, Tiff, you are special, girl. You have something, that je ne sais quoi that I always talk about. You got it. And, you know, it's wild that now you're not in Miami anymore.
I'm not.
So, are you still in the Shy?
I am in the Shy.
Okay.
I'm in the Shy.
She's in the Shy. And I want to talk about just getting started, finding your purpose and through your natural gifts, which I believe you have, finding your purpose through your natural gifts. So right now you are a self-image coach. And for someone who doesn't know what is a self-image coach, let them know what that is.
So basically I help women strengthen their self-image. I help them get back to their core identity, redesign their life, rebrand their life. A lot of people don't really know what self-image means, but that's really the way that you see yourself, the way people see you. And the way that you want to be viewed. So a lot of times there's a disconnect. You may see yourself as this, but you're not performing as that. Or you may see yourself, you may not be pleased with the way you see yourself. You may not, you may think a lot about how people see you. And I kind of bridge all of that together. To where it's just one seamless identity. But that takes a lot of work.
Yeah, it does.
No, it takes a lot of work.
Nah, for sure. Like, even with that, was it hard for you finding your purpose?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when you said that, you know, I held so much light and I was powerful.
For sure.
First of all, thank you for saying that. But I didn't know that I held any light. I know now that I'm a powerful force and I thank God daily for that. But I didn't. it's like I knew, but I never wanted to lean into that because I think it's so much easier to kind of be a part of the world, to kind of be a part of your environment and your surroundings. Yeah. And at that time in my life, who I was around, what I was around wasn't the most positive environment for me to really lean into that. I was just kind of, I was in a state where I was just going with the flow, like most women, like most people, mm-hmm. just going with the flow. I had no plan. Like, I would let my day lead me. I would not lead my day. I didn't wake up, you know, like the leader of my life. Whatever was thrown with me, I would kind of wait for things to fall into my lap. I wasn't aware of my strength. There were certain women that I put into certain categories that I felt was so far-fetched from what I could be because I was just such at this like low point, and that's just all I knew for myself. Mm-hmm. So really finding purpose, you know, I have to credit a man, and it wasn't a good relationship. It was like a toxic situation. It was like a situationship that I had a couple years ago. I want to say around 2018. And I think when that was coming to an end, I kind of got frustrated. I was like, you know, I've been doing the same things with these dead end, you know, like situations. I'm tired. Like I'm doing the same thing and getting the same results.
Right.
And then, you know, back to Hooters. We were working at Hooters.
Mm-hmm. And slinging them wings.
I was just kind of like, again, the same redundant routine. Why am I even here? Mm-hmm. It's funny because back then I wasn't even tapped into my spirituality. And, you know, I have such a strong sense of spirituality now. But
for sure.
I would say, like, you know, I love God and this and that. But I never truly prayed. I never just tapped into that force at all. So, you know, I'm going to work. I'm in these dead situations. And I'm just like, there got to be more to life than just this. Like,
yeah.
This can't be it. Like, why am I even here? This is what we signed up for as kids. Like, to just, you know, friendships. You know, you're in friendships. You think you have these authentic friends, but people are so-called friends, but then talking about you as soon as you turn around. Nobody truly wants no one to win. It just, that situationship with that man, after that ended, it's like a light bulb went out. I was just like, it was him, but it spiraled into so many different arenas in my life where I was just like, what is it? You know, I want more. So from there, I started reading. I think the first book I read was The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. I think that was the first book I read, and I couldn't put it down.
Four Agreements. Changed my life.
I couldn't hear you. What did you say, Sherelle?
I love The Four Agreements. It changed my life.
Oh, my God.
Not taking anything personal, that was like a woo, aha in my mind.
Let me just go through it really quick. Not taking anything personal. So a lot of times what people would, you know, people would speak things over me or say things to me and it would ruin my whole day. I couldn't whether it makes me mad or whether it makes me sad, you know, I'm just like ruminating over what they said, their words, and why, when that's a reflection of them. Like, right? when I read that, like, that has nothing to do with me.
Yep.
That, something about that just did it for me. So it started to shape how I responded to people. I became the queen of unbothered.
Okay. And so many levels.
After that, you couldn't faze me. Like, okay. I became the queen of unbothered. Another one was be impeccable with your word.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize the power of the tongue. Like, I remember back in the day, you know, a trendy thing that we used to do was like FML. Can I curse on here?
Yeah, girl, do your thing. Shit.
So FML means fuck my life.
Uh-huh.
And we say it so casually. Why on earth would we ever say something over ourselves. Like, fuck my life. So when I was reading the book and I tapped into that chapter, it was saying that, you know, when you talk over people, when you talk over yourself, you are putting a spell. Your words are so powerful that it holds the weight of a spell. Absolutely. And me being, I'm Nigerian American. So
yeah.
I take that stuff very serious. So yeah. When I read that, that was like, okay, I'm like, that's the last day I'm going to play about myself.
Okay.
There's no fuck my life. There's no talking crazy over other people. I reject that and send that back to you.
Yes.
You know, yes. So I didn't realize I had to do so much reprogramming. I had to do so much reprogramming over just like my mindset, over my thoughts and beliefs. But that was my first book. So once I really tapped into that book, it became like a domino effect. I started to really lean into a podcast. Shanika Adams, I want to say The Goddess Confessions. She really like first of all, her demeanor was so, her tone, her demeanor, the whole podcast was just so calm. And
yes.
So I would just start playing that on my way to work. And I will use those affirmations and just like, wait, it's a whole nother level of women who don't play about themselves.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to be. That's where I'm trying to go. So, you know, just using my car as like a library, using my car as like pure consumption. Like I wasn't watching TV. I was not listening to music. I was just consuming so much because I really didn't know about this other side of people who were so mindful.
Yes.
I mean, I was very like secular and just worldly before. So being exposed to that, it really opened my eyes. I think the next thing that really did it for me was meditating.
Mm-hmm.
So I never meditated before. I was like, why would I sit still, close my eyes for a couple seconds? And like, that's fake, you know? But when I really started to like try to figure out, okay, like what are my authentic thoughts? What is so powerful about me? Like what,
yes.
First of all, let me just say, meditating ties into your health. Like,
absolutely.
You don't even know that walking around being anxious and having all of this anxiety is not healthy.
It's not at all.
It's not, no, at all. And we carry that around so much as humans. We carry that around. So before I would journal, I would meditate. And I just started to see, visions. I started to see things so much more clear. I started to, it caused me to like isolate myself from so many people that I hung with so heavy before. I even like turned down the access that people had to me. And I just started to look inward. Like, I was just looking inward. Like, I was in my own bubble. 2018, 2019, I was in my own bubble. What I will say is that when I really started to, like, tap into my strengths, because, of course, when you do all of that, your number one question is, why am I here? Like, why am I here? So I kept leaning into, what do people constantly come to me for? What do people, going back to Hooters, everybody in Hooters would lean into me.
I sure did. Hey! I was like, Tiff.
Everybody would lean into me, tell me their, you know, what's going on with them, use me as a resource, ask me for advice. And I loved it.
Yeah.
I love being a safe space for a woman. And when I started to like look at that pattern, because it wasn't just Hooters, it was even in school, since I was a kid, like my whole life, I've always been that person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can I help? How can I impact women? And I kind of noticed the same like current problems. A lot of women did not know their self-worth. Mm-hmm. They didn't know their self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And I think that all stems from your self-image. A lot of people think that self-confidence and self-worth are the same thing. And they definitely work in tandem. But self-confidence is more of, you know, external factors. So, you know, when we do a good job at work, that boosts our self-confidence. If we get a lot of likes on Instagram, that boosts our, it's very external. Yeah. But with self-worth, that's something that's innately within you. You deserve this. There's no because. Like, you deserve this. That's it.
That's
point
blank,
period. So kind of like when I really started to like tap into that, that I deserve this and I deserve this. And let me just say this. I know I'm just going on and on and rambling.
You're great. You're great.
But let me say this. When you start to, you know, really tap into this other side, but you don't see, you haven't seen no one before you or no one around you ever, ever do this. You're like, am I crazy? Is there really something more? And then to think, you know, how can I just, I want to be on brand with my life. I don't want to do anything off brand. As you know, bartending, when you're bartending, you come across so many different energies every day. When people walk through that restaurant, you don't know what they're holding, what, you know, what they're going to transfer over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and after a while, it's like, I care about how I make my money. You know, I know I have to make the money to feed my family, but I want to do it in a way that's authentic.
Yes.
To me, I want to operate in purpose. I want to be on brand. And that's really, from there, like once it hit me hard. There was no doubt. There was no confusion. And I'm like, okay, let's go.
This is why I love this conversation for so many. I mean, there's so many things where I'm like, okay. So girl, number one, when you even talked about being on brand and basically being intentional about your life, you know, I want to kind of take it back. When you decided, because at PGP, I always say you got to make the decision to want to be better. Like, this is not what I always say. This is not a community for someone who we have to continuously to drag along the way. We can help you. We can give you resources, but you ultimately have to make that decision. Like even an addict, you have to admit that there's a problem and you want to make a decision to fix that issue, right? So when you made the decision at Hooters, when did that like light bulb go off? Like, was there a specific moment? And I'll say this, for me, I remember clocking in to the PM shift, you know, that 5 o'clock shift. And there was like a party of 12. The table was just getting transferred. And you know, at Hooters, you have a certain amount of time to keep the table before it's transferred, right?
Okay.
The server, the girl was like, I'm done. I don't want to do this. And I knew red flag, something's up with the table. They about to give me hell. I had my first panic attack at Hooters 15 minutes into my shift. And I like stopped and froze in the middle of the floor. It's almost like that That's So Raven moment. Like, my life flashed before my eyes and I started panicking. And I was like, call my sister. I can't breathe. They pulled me into the back. They were like, I'm trying to call they're going to call the ambulance. I said, hold up. Don't call the ambulance now. Just call my sister, put me in the car, and let me go. And that's when I started to realize, like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. Like, this can't be life. You know, I enjoy people, but not in this way. You know?
Facts.
So what light bulb went off for you when you were like, oh, something needed to change?
Okay.
Was there a specific moment?
I was working at Hooters, of course, you know, we're always chasing the dollar. So I picked up a second job at a strip club as a bartender, as a waitress.
I used to work at the strip club bartending and waitressing too, girl.
Yeah, you know, just trying to, you know,
Miami
you know, once
teams.
You end that life, you are chasing money all day. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't even credit it exactly to Hooters. I know like Hooters played a role, but when I was in that strip club and when those customers would come up, sit down, I will never forget. It was one customer who came up and we're just talking, you know, I'm doing my usual, just being his therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you want to see what I did last night? Sure. And, I'm not going to even go into detail what that man showed me.
Okay.
But it was just, I'm going to say, just, you know, between sex and drugs and like, and multiple people. And I was just like, it was just so it was so unwarranted.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm coming in here, but I'm on a different journey when I go home. This is a conflict. Like, I just felt like my spirit was like, I got to walk out. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. Like, this don't even make sense. Like, mm-hmm. how can I continue to progress to what I want to progress to? And I'm just coming somewhere to the deepest end of the spectrum. Like, I knew then my time was up. So I stopped that situation. And then with Hooters, what really did it for me is that the higher one just took it away from me because the pandemic happened and they closed down. We were all furloughed. So, it kind of, it snatched itself away from me. So I took that as a sign. I was like, okay, I get what's going on. You don't want me here. And say less.
God will always do that.
Say less. And I think around that time, I had just got my real estate license. So I started to tap into real estate. And I was like, I retire. I'm like, I retire. That's done. No more.
Yeah. Let me ask you, did you lose friends along the way when you decided to become a better version of yourself?
Of course. What did that look like? You know, people don't like that. They don't. Girl. And it's a lot of times they don't understand it because they're not doing it. And, you know, as bad as you want other people to do what you're doing, you can't force no one who's not on that journey. So, you know, it's like, I love you, but I'm going to just love you from over here. And, you know, I can't stop. I can't stop.
That's literally what it is. Okay, so, man, we have a lot in common. We have a lot in common with this because, I mean, the strip club, I had a moment where I was working at 11 Miami where, you know, it was like 3 a.m. shifts. And that's when I was getting right with God. That's when I was in my word. I recently got baptized. I was just really like recommitting myself. And I remember telling the supervisor, I was like, I can't do this. I cannot do this. This feels wrong. This is like the late night. I feel like a vampire. Like, I could not do this. And yeah, you do lose a lot of friends along the way. But I was okay with that. Because I knew, in my spirit, I knew, like, if you love me, you want what's best for me. And you're going to be okay with that. And on top of it, if you love me and you see that I'm progressing and doing my best, it's going to either allow you to build yourself up and do what you got to do, or you're going to literally slip away. And I was okay with either or. Because when you start putting yourself first, you really don't give a damn about what everybody else got going on. You know?
Correct. And it's like, the thing is that, what's the other option? Like, stop progressing to still be friends with you? I would be going against myself. I would be dishonoring myself. I don't have a choice here. I can't betray me.
Yes.
So when I started to realize that, I became very big on honoring me and making sure, you know, I give myself all my flowers, my biggest cheerleader, my biggest supporter, but it gets lonely.
Yeah, it does.
It gets lonely.
Nipsey, he heard this from someone else, but I remember when he said, would you rather be at war with yourself and peace with the world, or at peace with yourself and at war with the world?
Ooh.
I was like,
it's a bar.
I'm telling you. And I felt the most peaceful in 2020.
Isn't that crazy? Because everything was taken away from us.
Honestly, you know? I feel like God heard me. I feel like for years, you know, in Miami, we be hustling. There's so many ways to make money. You know what I mean? Legal or illegal, you know? And there's so many ways. But I feel like in 2020, God heard me specifically. Like, I just want a break. I want to put everything down. And the world literally went on pause. And I was in nature every day. I was grounding every day. I didn't care. I was as broke as a joke. I was going through my savings, didn't have the PPP, didn't have unemployment, but I was living on best God's life. Time. Whatever God had for me, I was okay with that. You know?
Walking in faith.
Yeah, literally is that. And that's my biggest takeaway from 2020. I want to find that kind of peace again. Because then you're in the world and you're kind of moving and shaking and, you know, your everyday life gets to you. So, ooh, Lord, just give me that.
You become present. You become so present in the moment. Yeah. You become present.
I love that. So, okay. So you ended up becoming a realtor.
I ended up becoming a realtor. And at this point, you know, I know what I want to do, but I haven't really, I don't have a name for it. You know I want to coach, but I don't know how to do it or how to start. Simultaneously, I got a job opportunity to move to Chicago. And then, let me just back up a little bit. And so while I'm going through all this, I go on a trip to New Orleans for the Essence Festival. And, you know, I told you about that situationship. I'm not dating. I'm not messing with no men. And I meet a man. Okay.
In New Orleans?
Now, in New Orleans. Okay. I'm really going solely on that trip to really, you know, like there's seminars, there's books. So this is more of a self-care trip for me. And I'm with a couple of my girlfriends. So I'm meeting men, but I'm blowing men off because I'm not here for that.
Okay.
I'm not here for that. But
tunnel vision.
Huh?
Tunnel vision.
Correct. Tunnel vision. So towards the end of the trip, however, I do meet a man. And I don't, you know, he really, it was just something very different about our initial interaction. Like the way we just connected, we talked for a really, really long time and there was soul chemistry. So it's like, I really don't want to, you know, go there with you, but there's this strong connection that I can't ignore. Yeah, so we exchange phone numbers, but he lives in Chicago.
Okay.
And that begins the start of a situation that turned into a whole relationship. So
how unexpected is that?
Huh?
How unexpected is that?
How unexpected, especially when you're intentionally not dating. When you're intentionally, you know, when you're dating, you can't find a good man to save your life. You know, when you are outside looking for it, you just like, what's going on? And then as soon as you're not looking for it, it's like it's right there dead in your face. So you can't ignore the signs or what God places in front of you. So we went back and forth. We did long distance for a while. But when I got that job opportunity, first of all, I love Miami. I'm a real Florida girl. Yeah. So for me to, listen, I grew up in Tampa. I went to school in Tallahassee. I was in Miami for about 8 years. Like, I'm a real, real, like, my roots are just buried in Florida. But the culture, when I had that awakening, the culture of Miami was starting to weigh down on me as well. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, you know what? And I had a job opportunity. So I was in real estate, but then I wanted to tap into selling new construction.
Okay.
So the original position was in Boca, but they then had a position. We were just talking and they had a position in Chicago. Mm. And this is during the pandemic. And I'm like, ooh, whoa, what does that mean? But ultimately, yeah, I moved to Chicago. And then from there, you know, I'm in a new city. It's the pandemic. And I just have all this time because I don't have, outside of my man, I don't really have no distractions. I don't have no, you know, my son, but I'm in like a complete bubble. I'm rediscovering stuff about myself. I'm journaling and it hits me one day. Polished policies. I don't know what you're creating, but that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Polished policies, because number one, we need to polish it off. Polish it off. How you present yourself. Polish it up. And then policies, that's still for a set of guidelines that you're going to live your life by. You're going to create those contracts for your life. You're going to create those expectations for your life. And that's how the name was created. Polished Policies.
I love the name.
I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this name, but that's the name.
Let me rewind real quick. Okay. Was it hard for you to leave Florida, or was it an easy?
Yeah, because that was the biggest move I've ever done in my life. I've moved in cities within Florida, but I've never moved across state. Like, and it's not across state like Georgia, because, you know, you could just get in the car and come back. If you move to Atlanta, you could just get in the car and drive back home.
Yeah.
I mean, this is across the country. So I'm like, ooh.
So what did that? Okay. So, you know, I ain't trying to be in your business because we friends. We talk privately. But like, did you, you knew that you had this opportunity for career to move to Chi. Did you end up, you know, telling your new man, like, you have this chemistry with him, like, I'm going to move. Do you make the decision for y'all to move in together? Do you go get your own place? What's that conversation in that moment like? Because a lot of girls will move for a man, and they kind of sometimes move blindly. Like, what was your process to make that decision, and what did that look like?
Okay, so me, before this whole thing happened, I was always very anti-moving for a man. Okay. So whenever my girlfriends would lean into me with their problems, I'm like, don't move for no man. You don't move for no man. So because that was something I battled with, I could never fully say out loud that I was moving for him, or that I would always use that opportunity and lead with that, because it was just something conflicting with my like ego or with my like values that I couldn't just submit to that, you know. So I led with that. Even when we would talk, you know, I'm like, well, he was like, babe, you're not moving here, babe, we're moving to be together. I'm like, well, no, technically I have an opportunity. You know, I couldn't, I just could not leave with that. I struggled with it because that's just not, you know, that's just not the advice I ever gave out. But the way it was set up, so my man is a lieutenant of a police department. So he's he's about 10 minutes from his town. And then I was about an hour. My job location was about an hour and 30 minutes away. So even though I was moving, I still wanted to have that sense of independence. I still wanted to kind of rediscover myself. Because what's so what's interesting is before Chicago even came up, I was starting to explore Houston a lot. I love Houston. So I thought before I met him, you know, that was always in my radar. Like, okay, I think I'm going to Houston. I think I'm going to Houston. And I was excited about that. A part of me was nervous, but there was this excitement as well. Because I just believe, like, the way my mentality is set up is, even if I fail, even if I don't like it, I can always come home. Miami's not going nowhere. But I feel like if I don't do these things now while I'm young and like while I have the, you know, the like chance to do it, when am I going to do it? I can't do it at 50. I can't do it. You know, I can, but it's much harder than it is now. So I'm like, you know, I don't want to live my life with no regrets. So it was somewhat of a struggle. Like, do you want to, or do you? But ultimately I was like, girl, take the leap. You're going to explore. You're going to love, because you know, I felt like when I moved to Miami 8 years ago, I moved from Tampa, and I fell in love with the process as well there. My son's father's from Miami, so I had a little bit of background there, but I didn't know the ins and outs of Miami like that. So, initially, I got my own place, but we will always still spend a lot of time together.
So what advice would you give to a woman who's looking to make a big change like that?
One thing that my man did that stood out to me, well, there's probably three different things. Number one, he was such a great listener. So like, it sounds so minute and it sounds so minor, but when a man is that detailed and like listens to every, I mean, he would sit there and just like listen to me dump like all of my dreams, all of my thoughts, all of my, and I mean like attentive, like listening, not rushing me off, not like placing the focus back on him. He kept the focus on me. So I felt very, very, very seen. another thing was just the support. We come from two very different worlds. Like I said, he's a lieutenant. He, you know, went to school. He got his master's. He, you know, he's more traditional. You know, me, I'm out of school popping bottles, you know, like, you know, I'm always, you know, where's the fast money? Where's the money?
Yeah.
So sometimes when you date a man that comes from a different world like that and you're telling him what you want to do, you don't always gain that support. They don't really understand that. They're like, oh, wait, baby, you got to get, you know, a traditional this and that. And mm-hmm. I never got that from him. He was very supportive with everything I said. And then I think the biggest thing for me that I think, lets me know if we're going to have a long-term relationship or a long-term partnership is the way we argue, the way we fight, the way we... Because, listen, that's a whole episode. You can love somebody and my baby to death. And when you guys get mad and emotions are raging, you say things out of emotions and you say things, you know, really things that you don't mean and things that can't be taken back.
Yeah.
So, I remember every time we used to get into it, I would want to... It was always important to me to still never disrespect him. And he never disrespected me. You know, if there's a problem, it was just still like in a very calm state. If, you know, that was just something different because previously I've never experienced that. It was always chaos, you know, hanging up on each other, yelling this, that, you know, this. It was always. Now, listen, I'm not perfect. I have slipped up. When we moved in, I've definitely had my fair shares of, like, getting chaotic and slip up. That's really why I appreciate my man, because he has a level of patience and calmness that I've never seen in another man that I've dated. There's a level of calmness and patience that automatically, like, makes me regret what I just did or it brings me out of ego so bad. You know, somebody is like that calm and that you don't want to be a firecracker by yourself. You look crazy. You feel crazy. So I think those things, like, you know, listen, I could go on. Commitment. Let's talk about commitment real quick, because a lot of times, and I think that's why today in this generation, a lot of us struggle so much with relationships. A lot of times when there's a problem or when there's an episode, we throw in the towel quick. We're like, oh, but I'm not gonna settle, or, you know, he got me messed up. Or on the flip side, the man may say, like, you know, nah, I'm straight. And every time, because of my past experiences and my past chaotic relationships, every time we got into a fight, in the beginning, I used to think it was over automatically. You know, I was like, okay, well, that was a nice run. And
runner, she's a track star. She gonna run away when it gets hard. That was, nice that was my,
you know, gotta go on to the next. And he was just like, how do we get past it? Like, or like, he was just like, okay, we fight. That's normal. We're going to fight. We got into a fight, okay? Like, I'm like, oh, you're really committed to this thing. Okay. That's what, you know, and I don't think this generation has that. You know, what are your thoughts? You tell me. Talk to me. Tell me.
Tiff, girl. We're going to get into this, because I want to know more about polish policy after. Okay. But everything that you're saying right now is so important for women listening. A few things. The commitment, the respect. When me and my man got into it, which is very rare, first and foremost, I didn't want to be a track star. I knew I loved this man because I was committed to making it work, because he was committed to making it work, and it was healthy. When we argued, we didn't hit below the belt. it was always going back to, let's pray. Like, literally, if we got into it, he's like, let's pray together. Let me listen to you, and vice versa. And even when he was correcting me when I wasn't understanding something, he was doing it with love. It wasn't judgmental. Yes. It wasn't talking down to me. It never made me feel less than. It always built me up. The conversations were always mature, always calm, always patient, always with love. Like, so different from other relationships that I've been in. Other relationships were confusion and delusion, okay? It was always an ego trip or someone trying to possess me. And like I heard Lauren London say about, you know, Nip, you know, rest in peace, Nip, Nipsey Hussle. Like she said, I got a chance to experience him and not possess him, you know, like, and you want to experience somebody before it's too late. Like everything about love is patient. Like they say in the Bible, it's patient. It is kind. You know, you can just tell when somebody is for you when they lead with love. Yes. And both of our source was God. Like, I never met a man who was so committed to his own faith and being the best man, being the best leader that he could possibly be so he can be able to lead, you know, his friend group, lead, you know, his family, lead the woman that he's with. Like that, I saw something so different and so kind and so patient and so authentic and so genuine, so sincere. I knew this time around in this relationship, I really asked God for this. I was like, God, I want a sincere man. I want a loyal man. I want an honest man. I want a prosperous man. I want a peaceful man.
Yes.
And I got all of that. And it goes back to even when you were saying, like, when things get hard, we want to run. I didn't feel, I literally felt like I need to work this out. I want to work this out. And I mean, when you just know, you know, it's really different.
You start asking yourself, there's a problem. You're like, okay, baby, like, what do you need from me?
Yes.
What did I do that? Like, and you just see the change in yourself. And
yes.
You're like, oh.
It makes you better.
But the key words you said for me was, it's different. And when something is different, it's different.
We didn't have to force it. It didn't feel forced.
Oh, right. Right.
You know, there's so many times we're getting in relationships and we're like, I got to call him a million times and work this out. He got to call me. Like, no, I didn't have to force it. It was just easy. It was consistent. His actions spoke volumes. Okay.
Yes.
Like, he was investing in me. He was investing in the relationship, which allowed me to be soft, be feminine, put my guard down. I could literally fall backwards and know I'm good. You know,
yes.
It's just different. It's different from anything. And I don't believe that love is supposed to stress you to hell out. I don't need no more gray hairs. You know, like, be my peace and I can do the same for you.
It's
just that simple. You know, he didn't require anything other than be the best version for yourself. Be at peace. That's all I need. All this what you bring to the table. I bring peace, ooh, baby. I bring peace. He never even said that to me. What you bring to the table. Like,
We're not gonna even go there, because that whole question alone is just such a low vibrational question.
Yeah.
I would never even respond to that, because that's a setup for someone to just down you. You know, like, no man is asking you that in hopes. There's no answer that's going to suffice. I don't.
Yeah.
It's a low vibrational question. I just, when you said that he's the whole like different thing, when you experience something you haven't experienced with someone else, I think that's just an indicator right there.
Yeah,
girl, we could give our men their flowers all day. I'll tell him all the time, I don't give you your flowers enough all the time. Like, I love my man.
Praise God to good men. Praise God to good men. Okay, praise God to good men. Girl, okay, so Tiff, now you're in the shy. You have this, you've already had this revelation of polished policies. Okay, so the Lord gave that to you, like, polished policies.
Polished policies, the name.
So let's get into it.
Let's go.
What is it like to build a business? You're in a new city. You have this word from the Lord, like polished policies. That's it. What was the direction at that point?
So initially I didn't even know where to start. I'm like, okay, do I just build a community? Do I, you know, go live? Like, what do I do? And, I knew I had the vision, but just aside, I wanted to get a therapist and a life coach for myself. So I got a therapist, I got a life coach, and the way she helped me, like, I was like, she was just coaching me with my life. Like, she was just pouring into me. She was just amazing. Shout out to Dr. Tarini, Level Up Your Life. That was the program. And I did that program with her, and I just felt like, okay, that's even more confirmation that that's what I want to do with my life. But I was scrolling on Instagram one day and I saw this this woman, Shanice Jenkins.
Yeah.
And I want to see, I gotta shout out everybody because I want to give everybody
please
their flowers
do who please do
you know in my journey. Shanice Jenkins, you know, I saw what she was doing. She was so powerful. She was just moving, and I was like, oh, this is it. I was like, this right here is it. Okay. So, you know, I inquired about her coaching, and her coaching came with a price tag. Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
Her coaching came with a price tag, and I have never spent that kind of dollar before. So I kind of just, you know, I leaned into my man and with my man, you know, he supported me and told me he believed in whatever I wanted to do. And he gave me, you know, he helped support my dream. And I also have another friend that really was like, you know, I was just discussing it with them and they kind of were like, listen, I support you, you know. You're going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I got a Zelle, you know. So I was able to take that and run. And the fact that other people believed in me,
yes.
I was like, oh, okay, this is for real. Like, this is not something that I just think, you know, this is for real. So
God,
you know,
will make a way.
God will make a way. He will make a way. So when I paid her that amount, for me, I just, you know, I wanted to make sure that if I pay you this amount, I'm going to do everything you tell me to do. So that way, if it doesn't work, I know I gave it my all and I can have peace with that. You know, if I get a bad reaction, if people don't respond, I gave it my all, you know, I tried it. So it was, that's how I perceived it. And, you know, she really challenged me. She helped me create a framework. And one of her things was like, you're going to have to go live. And I was like, oh, I don't do that. I don't do that. And at that point, my Instagram was still very much like, look at me content, as she calls it. Look at me content. You know, I wasn't really providing value on my Instagram. It was more so like, you see me outside being cute? Like, it's not, you know, pictures, you know, me trying to transition my content to where I'm actually providing value to women, like, don't look at me, like, listen to me, like, listen to what comes out of my mouth. And, the first time I went live, listen, I still cringe at some of them when I like watch it because I'm stumbling, I'm nervous, but, one thing I really learned, and I just started to like read into like success with the internet, and everybody had the same formula, consistency, every single person. So I'm like, they're like, no matter what, show up, no matter what, show up. So I'm like, okay, this is the game plan. We're going to show up. Even if I'm talking to myself, you know, I'm going to just be talking to myself. Somebody's going to come back later and someone's going to watch it and appreciate it. So in those early days, you know, I'm talking to myself, Sherelle. There is not another soul on that live. And I'm going in like, hey, guys. So, you know, I have three takeaways. I want you to tap in today to strengthen your self-image. Let's go. You know, and you know, because sometimes you may just be in the room. Like, you know, you and I'm just like, let's go. Like, we're going to act like it's a room full of millions. We're going to act like it's a room full of, we're going to, that's how we're going to operate. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I would talk and I would teach day in and day out. I would create my content with, you know, what I wanted to really give out. And it just felt so, it just felt so powerful. Like I enjoyed every aspect of it. That's why when they say fall in love with the process, they really mean it. Fall in love with the process because although no one was in the room, I wasn't gaining no traction like that. A lot of times when you keep your same page from, you know, your previous friends and family, they're like, what is this girl doing? Like, okay. Tiffany got going on. They skipping over posts. They skipping stories. You know, they like, what she got? I'm not trying to hear that. Mm-hmm. So when you keep your same page, if you don't create a new page from scratch, you have to like, there may be a feeling of like, are people judging me? What are people saying? And it could be hard to remove yourself from that. But again, like I fell in love so much with the process that I didn't care. When I tell you there was like zero F's given. Like people were like, what exactly are you doing? What do you do? I'm like, oh, baby, I'm a coach. Like I changed my previous name was Tiffany and Wincy. And I changed it to Polish Policies because if you were going to search me up, I wanted you to search up my brand. Like when you think of me, think of Polish Policies. Don't think of Tiffany that you knew 5 years ago because she's gone.
Okay.
You know, like.
Bye, girl.
think of who's in front of you right now. So that was kind of the game plan there. And, you know, I was talking to my coach. I was talking to Shanice. And I was just telling her, like, the people are not coming, you know. I'm like, where are the people? You know, where I'm talking to me. She's like, oh, you know, it's time for us to tap into different platforms. So she was like, have you tried TikTok? And
I'm so happy you said that.
Girl, I was like, let me try this TikTok thing, you know. Because before then, the only prior knowledge I had of TikTok was just people dancing. So I'm like, okay, you want me to go on TikTok and say a message? We're going to try it, but we're going to do it with my spin and my twist. Okay. Yes. So yeah, I started creating videos and the first like couple of videos were, it was like a couple like 100 views. I'm like, okay, all right, let's keep going. Mm-hmm. And I create a video one day, I lied to you not. And you know, it's picking up, but I'm like, okay. I wake up the next morning and I have messages from, you know, girl. They're like, babe, you went viral. Babe, you went viral. And people are like, why are you telling, like, coach, sis, why are you yelling at me? I needed to hear this. Thank you. Thank you. My inbox is flooded. And at that time, I had a free consultation
site. I remember.
And I remember I had to turn it off because they were just like, they were booking consultations like back to back to back. I'm like, wait a minute. Whoa, I'm overwhelmed. Whoa. Okay, so I'm like, oh my God, people are receptive.
Yes.
That's all I needed. That's all I needed. Commitment. I always like commitment breeds confidence because when you're committed, you complete and completion breeds confidence. Yes. So, you know, that for me was like all I needed to know that like, okay, baby, you are, your voice is powerful and you are an authority in this field and don't shy away from that.
Mm-hmm.
It was on and popping after that, girl. Tim, it was on and popping.
When you did your TikTok, because you already know, I love your voice. I love how you carry yourself and you getting a coach, a mentor, it showed. It showed. I remember being on them lives and it's just me and you, but you spoke as if you were talking to 10,000. And honestly, it inspired me for PGP. Like, I wasn't as structured as I am now, but when you got on that TikTok, and then you were like, now I'm making money off of TikTok.
Yes.
I was like, you can make money off of TikTok? I didn't even know these things, and you just, like, put a light bulb up. I'm like, Tiffany, you got it. Like, you got, that's how I knew you were in your purpose. You were in it.
Girl, it was unbelievable. I was like, oh, so you can really monetize this?
Yes.
You can really, this is for real?
Yes.
Like, how did you feel? Like, how did you feel when you really, like, because I see that you have leveraged PGP to YouTube now. And I'm like, okay.
Yes.
She's not playing. Like, you're so committed. Like, I just think that says something to, you know, people in the audiences, like, across when you're so committed. What made you get there? Because I know all about PGP from its infancy stage. So how did you, like, I know we talked about it, and I know you were, you know, you were putting in work, but the work you're putting in now,
it's nothing compared to what it was. Like, most people know, and I'm going to be short because I got so much that I want to, you know, because I'm not going to let you leave without us talking about this book, okay? So I'm going to make it quick for y'all.
Let's get
you know, I mentioned, you know, God gave me the idea of doing something for women, not just in a city, but the world, when I was back in Dubai in like 2011, 2012. And I just started building. I used to start having events in my uncle's backyard, doing bonfires for guys and girls. You know, I just doing little intimate, cute things. And then I did the app, which at the time, the Sprinkle of Jesus girl, Dana Chanel, I went through them, Lord. Okay. And, you know, I just was trying to build because I'm like, how am I going to build something? I don't want to build something just in Miami because in my mind, I'm like, God said the world. So I can't limit it to Miami. So I figured an app would be the best meeting place, right? The hub for girls. That, I did it for a year. I had no guidance on it, even though I invested thousands and paid. I had no guidance. But it wasn't until November of 2023, after coming off of the last podcast I was with my co-host, when that ended and my new relationship started, I had to go to God about this. I was like, okay, God, you know, I'm working a 9-to-5 job. I don't want to do this forever. I can't do this forever. But I remember you told me to do PGP, so I know it's not done yet. And my man really just helped me structure, get laser focused. Like, when we talk about giving flowers, I had to give my man some flowers for this. And I don't know, everything was about branding. Everything was about consistency. I don't care if you're the only person in the room. I don't care if no one is watching right now. Just stay consistent. He literally, like, programmed that in my head. Stay consistent, stay consistent, stay consistent. And that's what I did. And from that, you know, I was able to create my devotional, create the ebook, do the TikTok. And he was like, Instagram is cool, but YouTube is where it's at. Stay consistent with that. He was like, be realistic. How often do you want to have your videos come out? How often do you want to be able to do this and that? And I had to be real with myself. Okay, I could do Mondays and Tuesdays, you know, things like that. So when you talk about consistency, I never had brand colors. I definitely didn't have my YouTube pop, and I had a YouTube, but it definitely wasn't what it is now. And I just credit, number one, God giving me the second go ahead, because he already told me to do it back in 2012. But when I fasted, because I had to fast and I had to do something different this time, so I went into fasting and prayer for 3 days. If you need to know, a Daniel fast was the best thing I could have done. And God gave me confirmation with my man in the room. Like, a gust of wind just blew over us, okay? Yes. And it was like, oh, I really want us to do this. He really wants me to build it. Okay. And from there, it was just a go. Like, I do it when I'm tired. I do it when I don't feel like it, when I don't feel like super motivated. But those be the days when I push through and do it, that it'd be my best work. It'd be my best work. So I want to, for you, talk about, you know, because you were having so much success. And I'm, like I said, it's an honor to have you, Tiff.
Oh.
Okay. It really is an honor. There's women in my life where I'm like, iron sharpened iron, and you are that for me. So
thank you so much.
Let me give you my flowers.
Vice versa.
Okay. But I want to ask you, because I know personally the things that you've gone through, and you had to take a break for a while when it came to Polish Policies, which was understandable. And out of that break, you ended up birthing, redefining normalcy. I was like, why did I get tongue-tied with that? And you can find this on Amazon. Like, this is amazing. You were so vulnerable, transparent. You were going through a lot. So let's talk about how this was birthed, your baby.
Yes. So the end of 2021,
beautiful.
I became pregnant. And just to give you some context, I have a son who is 11 now. And when me and his father had him back in 2012, you know, I was pregnant at like 22. I think he was like 23. I believe he was 23. So we were young. We were poor. We were broke. And and we were just, you know, fighting and toxic. So my pregnancy with my first son was like just insane. It was not the most desirable situation. And not blaming him, just, you know, with our like age and just not being compatible and self-aware. He's a great father, FYI. But we went our separate ways. But fast forward to think about bringing a child again in the world, I was like, whoa. I'm in my flow right now. I'm grooving. And my partner was just kind of like, you know, we're in the same, this is it. Like, he was really excited. He has a daughter as well from a previous relationship. And so he was like, you know, I'm excited. I really want to, you know, to move forward. And of course, you know, I started to get excited because I was in such a different situation from before. Like, now I I'm with my man and it's not toxic. I now have more of the resources that I didn't have before to really, you know, I'm way more mature. I've done this now. So I was really excited. And fast forward, you know, I am not from Chicago. I wanted to go back to Miami and have a baby shower there. If it was up to me, I was living in my soft girl era. I was going to have a baby shower everywhere. Like, I'm like, where you? I got family there. I'm coming there too. Don't worry. Like, if it was up to me, ultimately, when I got on the plane, I started having all types of pain. And as soon as I got off the plane, they took me to the hospital. And I was diagnosed with preeclampsia, severe preeclampsia. And then I had HELLP syndrome. And that resulted in me losing my baby boy, Donovan. He lived for 6 days. He lived for 6 days. So I lost him. And that was just like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, That was like a huge slap in my face, because I thought that, like, why would you take something away from me that I was supposed to? Like, it was hard for me to understand and grasp and give logic to. So the way I handle things, if I don't know how to process something or do something, I like to research it. I like to find a book or a resource to understand. So I started to look up books on grief, and there were it wasn't an abundance of books on grief, because we all know people don't like to talk about that. People, it's a dark subject. People don't want to go there. And then in addition to that, I didn't see no one who looks like me, a woman of color, on the cover of any book. You know, so I was like, wow, there's no books on the topic, and there's no Black women who are especially I feel like in the Black community, we're taught to, you know, just push stuff under the rug and keep it moving. We're not taught to address when address things when it gets tough. We're just taught to like push it to the side and keep moving forward. We're not going to talk about it. It didn't happen. So, you know, I get therapy, and as I'm going through the process, I go to a retreat in Sedona, Arizona.
Yes.
I was like committed to healing because I really wanted to show up for my son who was still here. And then I wanted to also show up for my son who passed. I don't want, you know, my son would not want that. Number one. Number two, he lives through me. So if I'm not living my life, you know, I'm doing a disservice to him. Like, I carry him with me. So, you know, he wants me to be happy. He wants me to be upbeat. He wants me to finish what I'm supposed to do here with my time left on earth. So tapping into that, I was like, how can I serve? How can I serve? And that's when I thought, I'm going to write a book. Mm-hmm. And that is how this book was created on Amazon, Redefining Normalcy. The book really, it was also like a healing process for me to just write it. But it really helped me. It helped me understand how to deal with grief. And I'll just give you one of the takeaways. And please, that's you're allowed to give certain things a meaning. You're allowed to give whatever trauma you went through, you can give it meaning. And I think that's a powerful tool that we don't utilize enough. You know, we'll scream like, why me? And I can't believe this happened to me, and proceed. Or instead of just like telling ourselves, okay, wait a minute. Maybe this happened to me because, number one, this united our family. And I mean, me, my man, our kids, this united us so much together during the process. Yeah. I mean, we were all so excited. We ran through names together. And then I also think that Donnie Kane, like I said, my first pregnancy was so rough. I never experienced like a loving pregnancy around, you know, just so many loved ones. And I got to do that this second time around. So I think Donnie came for specific reasons. And that when we give stuff, like as humans, we need logic. Like, we need meaning. That's how we are wired. That's how we're processed. So when we give stuff logic and meaning, I think that it helps us process things better. I don't think it alleviates the pain, but I think it helps process things much better. And it helps us live with it much, much better. You know, you can retell stories to yourself. You know, I'm just going to use an example. If someone was abused, you can give it meaning. You can retell that story to yourself. You can retell that story of why that man cheated. That man didn't cheat. You may not have found your soulmate. Maybe that man cheated to, you know, that helped you put a mirror to your face to see certain things, to uncover certain things about you. Maybe that man cheating made you realize that you had a low self-worth, and now you know what to work on. Now you know what you want next in a man. Now you know your non-negotiables. So we give stuff logic and meaning. You know, you can't sit there and just cry about, you know, you can't cry, but you can't let it over consume you. You have to give things meaning, make it make sense. It helps you process. So that's how the book was born.
Tiff, like, you know, I know you hear this so much that you're so strong, but just to seek help, you know, going to Sedona, you know, and getting that help that you needed to be able to process your emotions, your feelings, and turning that I applaud you. And I know everyone is so proud of you, girl. Like,
when you
did this,
you
I was
so
like,
much.
That's how you transmute what you're going through. That's how you literally say, I'm going to build something positive out of something that was so traumatic.
Traumatic.
Wow.
Traumatic. I thought, and it's like, you know, you, when you say I'm so strong, I really received that. And I want to tell you, thank you for that, because I now, you know, wear resilience. I know
Yes.
I'm very resilient. I know that that's something that is like stamped on me. And, you know, when I went through that, after going through that, I was kind of like, okay, this is it. We're now in the rebuild process. Let's go. Early 2023, I like, since I had Donnie, I was just having weird symptoms with my body. And I'm kind of like, you know, I'm like, okay, like maybe this is just like post-pregnancy. I'm going to doctors. They're turning me around. They're like, you're stressed. You're grieving. I'm like, but no, I'm not stressed. I know my body. I'm very self-aware. Mm-hmm. Can you look into this? And, you know, I'm just kind of getting brushed off. So I'm like, okay, so maybe I'm tripping. So early 2023, everything came to a halt. I'm driving and I'm with my son and I'm driving and my whole body just freezes up. Like I get so fatigued, so weak to where I've never felt anything like that before. Like I'm mm-hmm. so scared. I tell my son, like, call 911, call my man. I don't feel like I can't move, you know? And I go to the hospital and I'm just gaslighted by, listen, I can go on about Western medicine and like, I mean, they wanted to do a psych evaluation on me at one point. Yeah, they're like, oh, you're just stressed out. Like the treatment that Black women get in the hospital is just, it's insane. I really had to advocate for myself, Sherelle. Like,
yes,
I had to make appointment after appointment. Like, if you won't listen to me, something is wrong. I'm having like dizzy spells to where I'm about to like pass out like weekly. Like something is completely wrong and no one is looking to dig deeper. I finally found a doctor who dig deeper and she's like, you know what? This may be the autoimmune related. And I'm like, really? So I'm telling her about like everything I went through with my son and what happened. And she's like, well, you had HELLP syndrome. That's typically related to and the autoimmune condition. So she was like, nobody told you that? I mean, and at this point, it's like months of me. So that really caused me to shut down from everything Polish Policies because now I was so like laser focused on my health.
Absolutely.
I'm like, okay, what is going on? I cannot record. I am low-key scared. Like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. So, listen, let me tell you something, girl. It's been a year, and I still do not formally have any diagnosis of anything. The most they have done is run a panel for me for the autoimmune disease, and I'm positive for an autoimmune disease, but they're saying that they don't know specifically which one, and it's something may develop later. Wow. So I'm like, okay, so what's the process, you know, to like with my like lifestyle, how should I like handle my lifestyle from this?
Yeah.
They tell me nothing, eat whatever you want.
Excuse me.
Doesn't matter. Their words verbatim, eat whatever you want. You know, once we find out, and it may take years before it presents itself, we'll start you on medication, heavy medication. So, okay, I do my diligence and I research when I get home. The medication is so toxic that they even thought about, I'm like, I'm not putting that in my body. The medication is so extremely toxic that they would even suggest to give to you that it just seems like it would, like you would make yourself more sick if you went that route. So now I'm like, oh my God, I got to start from scratch. I got to like figure out what am I feeding myself? What am I putting in my body? I strongly believe like your body is meant to heal itself. Like,
absolutely.
Nothing is irreversible. Like granted, you may still have markers for a certain condition or syndrome, but I do think you can like eradicate symptoms. You can push things at bay. You can push back. And one thing we're going to do over here is fight. So okay. I really start looking into like eating healthy, living healthy. I got a naturopathic doctor, yes.
And again, holistic doctor.
Yes, a holistic doctor. And I'm like, whoa, this is, you know, really expensive. But I'm like, baby, you don't have no choice here. Like, these doctors, you cannot trust them. They have no idea what to do with you. And I really became very, very, very health conscious. Like, to the point, like, I don't eat nothing fried. I don't tap into soy sauce. I consume a lot of turmeric. I don't eat anything inflammatory.
Yeah.
Anything. I've learned so much in that process. So that was just kind of like my hiatus was like, it was due to my health complications, because that's what I took 2023 off for, like, focus on that. That was just my soul, like, laser focus, make sure I'm good. I was so sick. I could not get off bed. Like, I was like, what has my life? I couldn't even stand, like, you know, between my son and my man just bringing me stuff.
Wow.
Like, I was like, I thought I was dying. I was like, what is going on? I have never felt this way before. You know, so to be able to like, okay, I need to cook fresh food every day. My sister came. I need to cook fresh food every day. I need to eat certain vegetables. I need to tap into certain fruit. I had like a lot of like blackberries, a lot of shakes, a lot of stuff that reduce inflammation. And it amazes me that like a holistic doctor, you know, and my own like research is what turned this around.
Let me tell you something, Tiff.
Doctors.
The holistic way is the best way, in my opinion. And one thing I know for sure is God is able, and God will get the testimony really soon. You know, like, praise God that you advocated for yourself and you listen to your body. You listen to the intuition within, because I'm a big believer. We have everything we need. We have everything we need. So God is always going to get the glory. Okay.
We have everything we need. Yeah. You're correct about that. And when you think about this universe and this, you know, everything we need is here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's growing from the ground. There's like,
big believer
you
in
don't,
that. Yes,
it's here. Like, you don't have to tap into all of these chemicals and toxic substances to heal you. You don't. You know, we just have to know what our body needs and we just have to feed it. So going through that, I think just that was like that after like going through that, I kind of like just took a step back. I was like, okay, like I'm tired. Like, I'm like, God, you know what? I'm going to just sit to the side. And when you have like a really high power about you and like energy about you, when it requires a lot to operate sometimes.
For sure.
And when you diminish yourself, you know, you feel like, okay, like I'm going to just play invisible. And that's honestly what I did for a while.
Yeah.
And what, you know, what I've learned is like, when they say that this is a journey, not a destination, 2023 taught me that. 2023, because I stopped, you know, I was playing so small and my self-image just broke. I just stopped. I stopped doing what I was supposed to do. I'm like just on the sidelines. I'm now at a point where, you know, life was leading me. I wasn't leading my day. I was just going with the flow. And, you know, once I recognized that, I'm like, wow, you have completely done a 360. And I think sometimes when you reach your destination, you think like, okay, I made it and I don't have to put in the work no more. No. It's forever. It's forever a fleeting journey. It's forever very fickle, like up, down, sideways, you know, dip. So you have to consistently work on yourself. You got to constantly. Yeah. But I will say that with that dip, it allowed me to kind of coach myself. back with my own framework. And when I tell you that, it just reassured me that my framework is the truth.
Yes, back to the basics. That's what it's giving.
Go ahead.
It's giving back to the basics.
Back to the basics. I'm like, girl, there's no, like, there's no formula. There's no miraculous formula. So my previous framework before was mindset, image, and lifestyle. And I didn't navigate away from that. I repurposed it with your mindset. What are your strengths? What are your, what do people come to you for? Mm-hmm. I think we have to like remind ourselves about stuff like that. There's so many people I can ask them like, what are your strengths? And they sit and stare at me with a blank expression. They have no idea. They don't. Mm-hmm. I always say you should have a PhD in you. You should have a PhD in you. And people don't know one thing about them. You know everything about the shave room. You know everything about the celebrities, but you don't know anything when it comes to you. Nothing. So really like sitting down and tapping in with yourself, like I have, so mindset was my previous framework, and I'm going to still include that, but I'm going to put that under the umbrella of self-awareness. I think self-awareness is a skill that we truly need to tap into.
Yes.
Another thing I used to talk about was lifestyle. Lifestyle a lot in my previous framework. And I think lifestyle is tied into your habits, your routines. Mm-hmm. I don't know. People should, I think everybody should read Atomic Habits. Atomic Habits by James. I don't even know his last name. Ugh, James.
It's been sitting in my Audible, and I've been meaning to, and so many people suggest that to me. So I got to get into it.
Sherelle.
Yes.
It is like, I try to read it like twice a year. I try to read it because as a woman, you know, we can sit here and we can say that we're this and that we're that, but we all know actions trump words. Whatever you're doing with your time is really who you are. Whatever you're doing with your time, that's your core identity. So you want to build those rituals. You want to build those routines. You want to build those habits to make sure that it reflects the woman that you say you are. You know, you can't say I'm a clean, tidy woman and you have like a pile of clothes and a pile of just, it doesn't reflect. And we all know like actions trump words. Another thing I talked about before was image. And I think that too ties into your self-awareness. How do you present yourself? How do you, and not just the physical. The physical is important too, because when you're self-aware, you know what flatters me. Like, what looks good on me? But better yet, how do I want to express myself? Because that's what your image is sending, a message. How do you want to express yourself? You have to really tap in into that. It's really a part of creativity. But also mentally, how do you want to express yourself? And that's where my last part of my framework would be emotional intelligence. I don't think as women, we tap enough into that. One thing I will say is when you go through this isolation stage, you know, it's good because you get clear about what you want. But isolation should never be forever. Mm. We were put here to, and one component of a happy life is creating connection with people. Yes. So we were put here to connect with others. And you want to be able to navigate social situations. You know, the only two things I always say that we have control like over in life is the things that we prepare for and the things that we respond to. So when you're presented with something, how do you respond? How do you respond? So I think emotional intelligence, just like, again, when you express yourself mentally, when you say things to people, when you come off to people, how do you, are you able to articulate yourself in a way that shows empathy? Are you able to convey grace, compassion? What will you be remembered for? How did you make people feel? You know, so I think, you know, today, sometimes the narrative is being pushed of, you know, independent, and this and that. But we want to make sure that we contain emotional intelligence, because that's connected to our femininity. So that's what this framework is going to be about. That's what I specialize in: self-awareness, emotional intelligence, and routines and lifestyle. That's my bread and butter right there. That's what I love. That's what I study. And yeah, that's what it is. That's college policies in a nutshell for you.
We got so many gems, Tiff. Thank you. Thank you. Thank for just, you know, we're going to wrap up, but where can the audience learn more about you?
So right now I still have my TikTok, Polished Policies, and I'm in the process now of just relaunching that. But what I have decided to do, because again, it's just been tugging at my heart, and that's what I love about purpose, because when something, even when you want to let go, you can't hide from it. You know, it's still there. It always presents itself. It always comes back up. It always makes itself known. So I am going to kind of just package everything that, you know, I know with those three modules and create a cohort to help women redesign their life, rebrand their life, strengthen that self image. So as of now, I just think, you know, everyone should follow me on TikTok. I also plan on creating a community where we have a book club, because, you know, I love to read. I love to tap into resources and podcasts. And I think it's just good for like-minded women to come together, and we feed off of each other. So I just need everybody to bear with me and stay tuned. But yeah, everything is coming. Everything.
And where could they find your book again?
My book is on Amazon, Redefining Normalcy. You just have to type that in with Tiffany and Wincy. If you type in my name, it should come up. But yes, I am on Amazon, so it's available.
I'm going to put all of her links in the description, even your email if you want, okay?
Yeah,
if somebody wants to
course.
Personally write you, I'm going to put all of that in the description below. Tiff, I just know you're going to be a guest favorite, and I hope you can come back anytime you want.
Oh,
the doors
sure
are open. We haven't even tapped into half the things that we really go in on, because we could talk for days.
We could talk all day.
We could talk all day. So thank you, Tiff. Thank you. Thank you. And
thank you.
Y'all, like, again, make sure you show her love in the comments and your biggest takeaway. And also make sure you grab the 10 tips to personal development, the daily devotional, and just give a round of applause for Tiffany again, y'all. Until next time, queen.
Thank you so much for having me. And I just want you to know, this is my first appearance since I don't know when. So I am so honored. But I always feel safe with you. I love your platform. I love everything PGP stands for. It's so on brand with you. It's just in sync with Polished Policies. I love everything. I love that we're all here taking up space and making impact.
I'm so honored as well. So I love you, girl.
I love you, sis.
Until next time, y'all.
Bye.